I don't know when that day was for you, but death was arrested in my life, and my life began in January of 1989. I hope that you know a day or a time or a date when death was arrested in your life, and your life began. If not, you can know that today. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you know. I really hope you know. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning, those of you who are staying in the sanctuary, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. We'll get to that scripture here in a minute. Matthew chapter 6. Last week, we looked at the life of a man named Judas. Judas was a man who was given a tremendous number of opportunities by God. And he was never satisfied with what he was given, and therefore he was never thankful. You see, you have to be satisfied to be thankful. And Judas was never, ever satisfied, so therefore never thankful. We saw that Judas was born, and that being born, he had the ability to make choices just like every person who's ever lived. We learned that Judas was born a Jew, which gave him a step up in life at that time. We saw that Judas was chosen by Jesus himself to walk with him for 3 years and experience the presence and miracles of Jesus firsthand. He didn't have to read about it like us. He saw it firsthand. Neil, I'm getting some echo. Could you turn that down just a hair? He saw it firsthand. Lastly, we saw that Jesus actually gave his 12 apostles his own power. Listen, church, Judas included. Jesus gave them the power to do what he was doing, heal the sick, bring sight to the blind, cast out demons. Jesus gave them this power, including Judas, and Judas still was not satisfied. We learn from this message that if we're not satisfied with the little things in life, we'll never be satisfied with the big things. Did you hear that? We learn that if we're never satisfied with the little things, we'll never be satisfied with the big things. Now, church, just in the past 2 weeks, I've been around two different people it's just been a pleasure to be around them. Y'all know who I'm talking about? They're never, ever satisfied. Every time they have an opportunity to complain just a little bit, they do. I've never woken up in the morning and said, God, I haven't been around any complainers in the past week. I want to listen to some complaints. And listen, I want you to understand something. We're all guilty of it from time to time in our life. I mean, we complain. I do. Usually it's with Amy, and she's just like, wah. I get no sympathy. I don't even know why I try. I mean, she asked me how I'm doing, Tony, and I'm honest with her, and she's like, wah. But we all complain, but nobody wants to listen to it. When we constantly are complaining about things that are going on around us, it's telling the world that, guess what? We're not satisfied. And Amy, if we're not satisfied, we'll never be thankful. Right? I was looking at her, not you, sweetheart. We need to learn to be satisfied. Today, as we are just 3 days from celebrating the greatest holiday known to man, Thanksgiving, I want us to focus on a new way to pray when we're thankful. Amen? I want us to focus on a new way to pray. I really do. It seems that on Thanksgiving, we all take a step back and look at what is really important in life. For some reason, we remember what it is that's important and what's not. We tend to be thankful for these things that we need on Thanksgiving, not the things that we want. And we're thankful for what we have, not what we don't have. We're thankful, truly thankful for what we have. But what is it, church, that we really need? What is it that we really need? What should our focus be as we consider being thankful? Now, I've preached from this scripture before, but not from the perspective that I'm going to be preaching from it this morning. So y'all just hold on. Don't look in your Bibles and say, oh, Brother Kyle preached on this, May of 2020. 2013. Y'all just be satisfied. See there, y'all aren't satisfied. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Now this scripture holds, it's very dear to me because I had one professor in college that when he gave us an assignment, I wasn't looking forward to this assignment, Tony. You remember those in seminary? I mean, we had to memorize and quote Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, and stand before the class and recite it without anything in front of us. And I was like, my gosh, man, what's wrong with you? But since that time and since the passing of that professor, this scripture has, I mean, it's phenomenal, church. And if we'll pay attention to it, not only because Jesus is saying it, I mean, it's so powerful. And it will truly make us be thankful this Thanksgiving and every single day if we'll pay attention to what's read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says this. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink and what your, you know, and about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can you add a single cubit to your height, to his height, by worrying? And why? Why do you worry about clothes? Learn from the lily or the wildflowers of the field for how they grow. They don't labor or spin. They don't spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, the greatest king, the richest king, in all his splendor, was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek after the things that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first. Seek first. Number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I pray that at this moment that you'll bless the reading of your word, because it is your word. It is your word. Your word is perfect and holy and true. God, we pray that you would open our eyes, open the eyes of every person who's in the sanctuary this morning. We're all here for a reason. We might not have been here last week or the last 2 weeks, but God, you've brought us here this morning to hear a word from you. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be attentive. You'll wake us and shake us. You'll help us to find what it is that you want us to hear this morning, that we might be greater servants when we walk out of these doors to serve you in a greater way. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. So what do we see in this scripture this morning? What do we see that's going to help us this week to be thankful? I want to be thankful, don't y'all? I mean, I've not always been thankful to go to my mother-in-law's house on Thanksgiving and spend, you know, the day there. But I want to be thankful, Bob. Amen. Is that okay? They're not watching, right? I'm not in trouble, am I? Yeah, they don't watch me. Becky? Oh, well. So what do we see in our scripture that's going to help us this week? Well, the first thing we see is in verse 25, Matthew saying, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Melissa, don't worry about your life. But herein lies the first problem, James. We do. We worry about our lives, church, maybe too much. We do. I can't tell you how often in my life when something very simple happens, I worry about every single detail of the occurrence, mostly worrying about how I'm going to pay for something. Right? How in the world am I going to pay for this? Or how am I going to replace something? Well, we all tend to worry way too much. And when we worry, we're resentful and not thankful. We say, why does this happen to me? Or why did it have to happen now? I mean, listen, when I was with my mom, the week that I came back from my mother, Amy said, listen, the washing machine's not working. And naturally, you know, the man part of me I'm thinking, well, she's just not doing it right. She probably, you know, the sensor on the door probably just needs to be pushed in a little bit. She don't know what she's doing. I'll get home and I'll be able to, you know, just make a little tweak here, make a little tweak there, hide that sensor, take it off, and cha-ching, it'll be working again. But not this week. Church, I got home and guess what? The washing machine was not working. So I had to find a washing machine. And I found a deal with a washing machine and a dryer, so I took the washing machine and the dryer. I mean, it was just a wonderful day. But the very next day, I thought, well, this is my first day home. I'm going to cut the grass, because the grass hadn't been cut in 2 weeks. So I jumped on my riding lawnmower and cranked it up, and I took one swipe up the side of the driveway. Guess what happened? The lawnmower died. It died, and when I say it died, I mean, Cody, it threw a rod. You know what that means, son, right? I mean, ain't no fixing that. Nothing. It's gone. And I asked myself, guess what I asked, Gary? Guess what I said? Why is this happening now? Now, I mean, it's 2 months to Christmas. Got a grandbaby. I mean, come on. I've got nothing. Come on. Why is this happening now? Matthew makes a statement that I believe we need to pay close attention to when he says, this is why I tell you. Well, why did he tell us this? Well, look at verse 19 right above it. Look at verse 19. He says, do not. You might want to circle that. He says, do not. He's warning us. Jesus is saying, don't do this. Jeter, don't do this. If you do it, you're going to regret it. He says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth. Anybody guilty of that here? Anybody? How many of y'all's houses are full of just little knickknacks? How many? How many? How many crock pots do y'all women have? Hey, and they just put a new one on sale at Walmart. How much is enough? He says, look, don't collect treasures for yourself here on earth where the moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Listen, I'm going to leave my door open. I don't want them to have to kick the door down. Come steal it. Right? Where they come in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, listen, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I wasn't pointing at my wife, I was pointing at the ground. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, and be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. You cannot. Brother Kyle, I don't like this part. I mean, I don't like this part. Well, don't get mad at me. Please get mad at Jesus. I mean, it's him, not me. And don't be mad at Jesus long, because that'll funnel over to me. Okay? So now we see that, you know, what's he talking about? Don't worry about your life. That's what he's talking about. Verse 19 through 24. Church, what we just read should set off alarms. It really should. What we just read should set off alarms. The reason that we are worried instead of thankful all the time is self-induced. It's self-induced. The reasons why we worry are self-induced. or self-imposed. We think things bring us happiness. We think that if we could just have the newest car, the newest gadget, or the newest toy in our lives, we would be so much better. Life would be so much greater if I could just have this one little thing. And when we get those things, we're excited for about 2 days until we get the first payment. The first payment's due. Isn't that right? And then we lose our minds and all happiness. What in God's name did I just do? Why did I do this? And then you think about it, you're just like, this is the first payment. I got 5 more years. All happiness is gone. Verse 19 through 24 tell us what our focus should be. Y'all might want to put a bracket around it. 19 through 24 tell us what our focus should be. And verses 25 through 34 tell us what we should be focusing on every day to be happy, to be content, and listen, yes, also to be thankful. Thankful. Verse 25 tells us of 3 major needs of the day when Jesus spoke of these words. Well, what were those needs? You saw them, but I'll tell you again anyway. They were food. We all have to eat, right? Anybody hungry? Just settle down. Food, water, and what? Clothes, right? I thank God for food, and I thank God for water, and I definitely thank God for clothes. I really do. Now, did you notice what the needs were? Not food, water, clothes. Now think with me here for a second. When you were of age and you were growing up, and in your mind, those were the needs that you had to work for. That's all you needed to provide for, Jim, in life. In life, that's all you need to provide for. How simple would it have been? Okay, I'm 18, I'm graduating high school, and this is my focus. This is what I need to do. I need to be able to provide myself with food, with water, and with clothes. That's it. And I'm not talking about, you know, an elaborate closet. I'm talking about 2 or 3 pairs of clothes, a couple pairs of jeans. Do y'all remember when we were kids? I don't know how it was at your house, but I mean, I my parents weren't poor, but we had, at the beginning of the school year, we'd get 2 pairs of jeans. Two. Now, this is magical. I'm going to open somebody's eyes this morning. You know, blue jeans go with just about everything up top. I mean, you can wear an undershirt, goes with jeans. You can wear a polo, goes with jeans. It doesn't matter what color. It can be ugly orange, Tennessee ugly orange, and it goes with blue jeans, doesn't it? It does. It does, doesn't it, honey? I mean, it ain't going with my jeans, but it goes with jeans. It really does. Everything goes with jeans. And this is what would happen. You know, we had a designated pair of jeans, Mitch, to wear outside when we got home. You didn't wear your school clothes outside. You didn't. And if you got caught wearing your school clothes outside, guess what happened? You got put in timeout. No, you didn't. You got worn out. Right? And this is what happened. As the school pants got old, you might get a hole in the knee. Now, it's fashionable now. You buy pants like that. But back in that day, it wasn't fashionable, but you'd get a patch. And it was cool because we had all kind of cool patches, and you'd patch the hole in your pants. But listen, we only had 2 or 3. That's it. 2 or 3. That's it. And you didn't get any more until, guess what? Next school. Why? Because you didn't need it. Nowadays, you listen, well, that shirt doesn't match with those jeans. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. It really does. We are not talking this morning about wants. Well, I want a pair of jeans, for every day of the week. Why? Because your wants exceed your needs. I learned something from my history teacher, Mr. Walton Peabody at Catawba School Academy, that had nothing to do with the class that he taught years ago. You know what it was? This need-want thing. This need-want thing. He was a professional. He was a teacher. Y'all with me? And this is what he taught me by not teaching me anything about what he was teaching. Monday, he would come into school. And this is what, I'm serious. I'm not embellishing whatsoever. Tony, I'm not embellishing. You believe me, don't you? Okay. Monday, he would come to school, and he was wearing a pair of khakis, a pair of nice dress shoes. He was wearing a belt. I'm sure he was wearing undergarments as well. I'm not going to. But he was wearing a blue shirt, button-down shirt, and a tie. Okay? Tuesday, when Mr. Peabody came to work, Mr. Peabody was wearing a pair of nice shoes like these, same shoes. He was wearing the same khakis. He was wearing a blue shirt and a tie. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he was wearing nice shoes, khakis, blue shirt, and a tie. Tie would change from day to day, but everything else stayed the same. He didn't look dirty. He wasn't wrinkled. He was very nice dressed. But y'all know what that taught me? He lived on what he needed, not what he wanted. He lived on what he needed, not what he wanted. I know what their salary was. I'll never forget the day that Mr. Peabody drove up and he was dressed a little different. And it was noticeable. He was a little proud in his step. This was crazy. He was wearing, that day he came in, he was wearing the shoes, the khakis, the blue shirt, the tie, but he had something on that was a little different. He had driving gloves on. I'm thinking, dude, what's up with the driving gloves? I mean, you in the Indy 500 or something? He had just bought a brand new Honda Accord 5-speed, and those things, I mean, that back in those days, those things, that was nice. Brand new that he paid cash for. Do you know how he was able to do that? Because his wants never exceeded his needs. His wants never exceeded his needs. Church, Jesus gives us three illustrations for us to see as to why we should not be worried about our basic needs in life, the most basic things in life. Verse 26, he gives us an illustration of birds. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the sky, that they don't sow, reap, or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more worthy than they? I think it was during Revelation when we were talking about the plagues that are going to happen on the earth. And it was, I think, the third or fourth seal. I'm not sure now. Y'all don't hold me to that. Please don't hold me to that. But at this point in time, all the animals of the earth are going to turn on the living inhabitants, which is us. And at that point in time, I think I said there was something like 72 or 7 billion. I can't remember what the name. Desi, you can probably. How many birds there are? How many? 72 billion birds on this earth. That's a lot of birds, y'all. Y'all ever seen that movie, Birds? Alfred Hitchcock? Boy, that was scary when I was a kid. But you think about it, the birds. Y'all go out there and see them. They're majestic. They fly through the air. They don't plant a garden. They don't have a bonus card at Food Lion. They don't have a refrigerator or a freezer. Every day, it doesn't matter whether how hot it is, how cold it is outside, 72 billion birds are provided for. Well, how do they get? God provides for them. God provides for them. We need to look at those. When we walk out the door here in a few minutes, we're going to look up on the power line. We're going to see an ugly crow. This afternoon at 5:15, I'm going to look up on my back. Well, I won't. Yeah, well, no, I'll be here. But on 5:15, any given day, I can look up on my back porch, and there's a steady stream of birds heading back towards the ocean. It's amazing. And God provided food for every single one of them. And what he's saying here this morning to us, what Jesus is saying to us this morning is this. If God provides for those birds in the air, don't you think he's going to provide for you? Don't you know that you are much greater of a purpose for God than they are? So when you see those birds, that's a living testimony of this scripture this morning. But he didn't just leave us with that illustration. He told us of another thing. He says, look at the wildflowers. Look at verse 28. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? Learn from the wildflowers or the lily of the field of how they grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. What is y'all's favorite wildflower? My favorite wildflower is wisteria. Because we've made it through winter, and it's not as significant here because we don't really have a hard winter. But in other places, you go through a hard winter or a really cold winter, and right at the beginning of spring, a couple, you know, when we have a like 3 days of warmness, you start seeing the vines of the wisteria start turning green. And about the next week, you start seeing the blossoms on the wisteria forming. And it's like a grapevine. I mean, Greenwood State Park, those of you who go camping, go to Greenwood State Park in April when it's starting to warm up. There are pine trees, and the pine trees are lined with wisteria. It's like walls and walls of wisteria. And when you get within a certain point of the campgrounds, you start to smell it. You start to smell it. Understand here, when he's talking about the flowers of the field, he's saying, look at how majestic they are. Look at how detailed they are. Look at how precisely they come and they go. Listen, they're here one day for a reason and a purpose, and it's beautiful. Look how beautiful they are. Even the dandelion flower, look at how beautiful it is. I know nobody wants them in their yard, but they're beautiful. Nobody wants a dandelion. They're like, man, dandelions, they ain't nothing but a nasty weed. But understand this. Do you know the medicinal purposes of that dandelion? How it is, it will make you so healthy. If you don't know, come ask Miss Desi. You cut that flower off and look at it, or you let it grow, and it has the things that you blow in the air, whatever you want to do. But if you dig up that root has unbelievable healing qualities. Jesus says, don't overlook all that. Don't overlook all that. So then he says the next thing is grass. Look at just grass. He starts with the beautiful birds, the majestic birds. Then he says, look at all the flowers around you. But he ends with the grass in verse 30. He says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into a furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Look at all the grass. Look, Colin, you know about the grass, don't you, son? I mean, look at it. It doesn't grow right now. Thank you, Lord, I don't have a lawnmower. Thank you, it's not growing right now. But it's going to. At the appointed time, it's going to start growing again. And if you look at all this grass, how God takes care of the grass. Man, we went through, I think it was last summer, this summer we had like 4 weeks of nothing. No rain. My grass was dead in the front yard. Dead. But y'all know what happened? At God's appointed time, it started raining. And it didn't stop. For a long time. And what was dead in my front yard, guess what happened? It came to life. All it needed was a little rain. Right? God says, look at it. Look at it. I'm providing for this. I'm providing for all of this. You're worried about you. You're worried about your little house and your little family and how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. He said, look at what? Look at all that I'm doing. And you don't think that I can handle you. But it gets better. Jesus asked a pertinent question about worrying in verse 27. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, he says, can any of you, now put yourself there, can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? Can you? Answer that question. Can you add a single inch to your height by worrying? The answer to that question to all of us is no. We now hear Jesus driving the point home about worrying in verse 30 through 32. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 says this. It says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek these things. Well, listen, we're not idolaters, are we? We're Christians. We're Christians. But church, when we do these things, when we're worrying about them, we're acting just like who? First of all, non-Christians who are idolaters. We really are. They eagerly seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows, church, he knows that you need them. If you really think about this thing called worry, you have to realize that most of what we worry about is self-inflicted. We bring about so much worry, too much worry in our lives. We so overcomplicate our lives with things that we do not need, and in truth, God never intended us for us to have to make us happy. Look around your house and see that God didn't intend for us to have half of what we have to make us happy. He didn't. Too often our happiness and our thankfulness is contingent upon what we have and not what we need. And it's not contingent on who we are. And it should be. But church, listen to me. You want some good news? Y'all want some good news? Y'all wake up. Listen, y'all want some good news? God has a solution. You know why God put a solution in here? Because he knew who we are. Deborah, he knows us. He knows our very nature. God gave us a solution. Jesus gives us a very simple solution in verse 33. Look at verse 33. He says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be provided for you. Oh, good. I get everything in the end. No. Get that out of your mind. Now, understand, Jesus is not talking about a magic lamp for all believers to rub to get everything they want. It is not that way at all. What he is saying here is if contingent on you, if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you seek at first his righteousness, the righteousness of God, then the things you need will be provided for you. What things? The things of God that will bring you happiness and thankfulness. That's what I want. I want the things that God wants in my life. I don't want the things that I want in my life. Right? Well, what could these things be? What could these things be? Food. Right? I told y'all at the very beginning of the message, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior in January of 1989. I've never been hungry. There are Christians who have been hungry, but I've been blessed. Most of the time, when my stomach growls like some of y'all's is doing now, just relax. I have not had one thing to eat today yet either. I'm hungry too, so I'm about done. Just relax. But when my stomach growls, most of the time, Colin, it sends a message up to my brain. And the first thing it tells me, Jim, is I'm hungry. Yeah, I know you're hungry. And then it sends another message to all the receptors in my body, especially my mouth and my tongue, and it says, this is what I'd like. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And a lot of times you what's put before you isn't what you want, but you know, there have been many times most times in my life, Tony, where my stomach says, this is what you want to eat. And I'm thinking, my brain gets in there and it says, you're exactly right. Let's go get it. And I have the ability to do that. I can eat what I want. Here in a minute, Amy and I are going to get in the car and she's going to make a decision where we're going to eat. And I'm going to be happy. I'm going to eat what I want there. Right? But God says, listen, don't worry. You're going to eat. We're all going to eat. And I can look around and most of y'all, y'all been eating, right? But the second thing he says, you know, work. I don't have to worry about work. Do you know since January of 1989, I've never missed a day of work? Now, I did something stupid that I shouldn't have done, that I wasn't getting paid, and I was training to try to do something that I really didn't want to do for about 2 weeks until Amy said, shut your mouth, it's over, go back to work. And guess what I did? I said, yes, ma'am. But that was me. That wasn't God. God's always provided a ministry. Do you know when one ministry door closes, God has always opened another one for me? Always. It's amazing. Tony, isn't it amazing? And this is the amazing part. It's generally something that you're not looking at. It's like, really, you want me to do that? Yeah, God, I've never done that before. Yeah, I know, but it's going to be fun. Yeah, but God, I just don't, I'm going to be with you. It's just like what he told Paul when he studied the other night. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry. Just be patient. I've never had to worry about that. I've never had to worry about a roof over my head. There's been a time, y'all, where in the ministry we lived in a parsonage, and when the pulpit committee showed us the parsonage, I'm thinking, oh my Lord, y'all, people didn't even clean the house before you brought me in. I'm okay, I can live anywhere, but you didn't clean the house before you brought my wife in here. We walked into the master bedroom, y'all, and there were not just bugs underneath the master bedroom window. There were dead bugs and roaches. I mean, all roaches in the bathtub. And I'm thinking, oh, kumbaya. I can't wait to get in the car and hear about this. But he provided. And guess what? We lived there for 4.5 years. It's not always what we want to have, but God has always provided. Amen? He's always provided. And in all honesty, listen, I want to tell y'all something. If I had to live in a tent in the backyard, as long as I had my wife with me, I'm fine. I really am. I don't know if she'd be fine, but I'd be fine. Church, I have my help. Now, my health might not be perfect, but I'm way better off than the man laying in the ICU right now who just had open-heart surgery. And I know this, my day's coming. My day's coming. I visited many of y'all in the hospital when I was allowed to go in the hospital, and I'm just 51, but I know that my health is going to decline. Why is that? Because this body is not made to last forever. As perfect as it looks right now, it's not made to last forever. It's really not, Angie, it's not that funny. You need to calm down. Church, we need to see these gifts that God gives us and be thankful. Jesse, we need to see these gifts that God has given us and be thankful. And I'm not talking about, well, yeah, I'm thankful this. No. I'm talking about truly thankful. And when we are thankful, what we seek, when we're thankful, what we seek after and how we speak will be changed. I want you to hear a prayer of thankfulness that I found this past week. It says, oh God, when I have food, Help me to remember the hungry. When I have work, help me to remember those who are jobless. When I have a home, help me to remember those who have no home at all. When I'm without health, help me to remember those who are suffering. And remembering, help me to destroy my complacency. Bestir my compassion and be concerned enough to help by word and by deed those who cry out for what we take for granted. Amen. Church, right now, I want to ask you. I want to ask you if you'll seek the solution as Jesus spoke of it in verse 33. If we will seek first the kingdom of God and seek first His righteousness, Scripture says all these things we need will be added unto us. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? If you're satisfied, you're going to be thankful. You're not going to be a complainer. You're going to be thankful. Amen? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Will you right now seek after Jesus during this time of invitation? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins again. Asking you to forgive us where we fail you. Thanking you, Lord, for who you are. Thanking you that you're God of second chance and third chance and fourth chance. And Lord, we thank you for right now that we have another chance to come down and just kneel before you and to seek after you the way we should every single day. Be with us now during this time of invitation, Lord. If there's somebody here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that the day will be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar is open to you. Do you need to come? Will you come? Will you come?